thoroughly enjoyed the message that went before this evening. As he was speaking tonight, I began to think about what the Apostle Peter said. We hear the Apostle Paul say that he was the chief of sinners, and how we likewise ought to see ourselves as that way. But I'm thankful that the Apostle Peter told us that when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Certainly we ought to view ourselves as the chief of sinners, but I'm thankful the chief shepherd did come and took care of those sins that kept us from the Lord. Seeing that, I'd like to turn your attention to John chapter 9. We heard this evening about a man who confessed who he was. Here in John 9, I want to show you a man who confessed who the Lord Jesus Christ was. Here in John chapter 9, we begin in verse 1. It says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. It's interesting that as the apostles and disciples look at this man, they immediately began to accuse this man or his parents of doing something wrong. I remember in the case of Job, when he suffered his affliction in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, that when the three miserable comforters came, their first assumption that Job had some secret sin in his life, and that was the reason that God was judging him. Of course, we know clearly that was not the case, because God himself said of Job that he was a perfect man, upright, feared God, and eschewed evil. That didn't mean that Job was sinless. It just said he was mature in his discipleship of the Lord. But God was not allowing those things to come to Job because Job had had some secret sin in his life. However, that was the first assumption of those individuals. Sometimes we likewise see somebody who's going through an affliction and we begin to think, well, I wonder what they've done to deserve what they're going through. Now, it is true that God can and does afflict his people for living in an ungodly way. I find the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul wrote in the 11th chapter and accused them of certain sins. They had even made a drunken feast of the communion service. And he said because of that, some among that church were sick. God had afflicted them with sickness. He said some even sleep or are dead. God even took some of their lives because they had not respected the Lord's service. So I recognize the Lord can judge us with physical afflictions and even death if he so desires, because we have not lived in the way that he has commanded us to live. However, here in John chapter 9, that's not the case. It wasn't the case with Job. Here the Lord makes it very clear that it wasn't this man that sinned. Obviously, he was born blind. He was blind from his birth. Now, I realize the Bible does teach us that we were shapen in iniquity, and we come forth speaking lies. I know that we're sinners by nature. However, this individual had not had the opportunity to become a sinner by practice yet. And so here they're asking a foolish question to start with, because their question is, did he sin? Well, the Lord made it clear he was blind from his birth. He hadn't had the opportunity to sin yet. Certainly he was by nature, but he wasn't yet by practice. The second part of the question is likewise foolish, because he asked whether it's the parents' fault. However, why would the Lord judge the child for what the parents had done? So the question was flawed to start with. And so the Lord makes it clear the reason that this young man was born blind was that the glory of God should be made manifest or clear in him. And as we go forward through this man's experience, you'll see how God was glorified in this man's life. You might ask the question, well, is it not unrighteous for God to allow a man that affliction for those many years and then all of a sudden use this young man to bring forth his glory? Is there unrighteous with God? Paul asked the question, God forbid. And I guarantee you this man did not accuse the Lord at the end of that experience, saying, Lord, why did you allow me to be born blind? You know, the first thing that that man saw was the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good thing to see, the very first thing you ever saw, is it not? To know that this man saw nothing else. He didn't see the beauties of creation, no doubt. He didn't see also the sin and corruption in this world. The first thing his natural eyes beheld was the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, this man was born blind, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. It says in verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. I love to read the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, to see the things he did for individuals. I find there in Mark chapter 7 that there was a man who was deaf and dumb. He couldn't talk and he couldn't hear. And the Lord came and healed his ears and healed his mouth so that he could speak. And the men were astonished. They said he had done, speaking of Jesus, all things well. When the Lord Jesus Christ did something, he did it well. I'm thankful to see that when the Lord worked, there were great things that were accomplished by his hand. Here this man who had never seen anything with his natural eyes, the Lord takes clay and makes spittle, takes clay and dirt and makes a salve for his eyes, speaks to him, go, and he goes, he's sent, he comes back, and he comes seeing. The Lord, when he sends, or the Lord, he calls, the Lord, he speaks, things are accomplished. I'm thankful to know that he is able to accomplish that which he purposes. I find in Isaiah it says that he declares the end from the beginning, from ancient time, the things not yet done, declaring, my counsel shall stand, I shall do all my pleasure. I'm thankful to know we serve a sovereign God who's even over our natural infirmities and can heal whatever stands in our way. Here this young man had a great blessing that day. He was able to see. But we're going to find that the Lord blesses him with a far better sight at the end of this experience than the natural sight that he received there at the beginning of the experience. We see the Lord heals him, and then the Lord goes on his way. We find then in verse 8 it says, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. I'm the one. I'm the one that sat begging. I'm the one that couldn't see. I'm the one that you're talking about. He confesses, I'm the one. And some, it says, therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? Notice how he answers. He says, a man that is called Jesus. It's interesting how this man begins to respond. You're going to first see that he says, a man called Jesus. Later, you're going to hear him call him a prophet. Later, then, you're going to hear him say he's a man sent from God. And lastly, he's going to see him as the Son of God. Here, this man, he's going to develop into a better knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. His sight will be increased from seeing the Lord simply as a man to finally seeing him as the Son of God. Certainly, he was a man, no doubt. And I'm thankful that he came down in the form of human beings and took upon him the nature of human being, not the nature of angels, Hebrews says, but rather our own nature. However, sin accepted. The Bible says he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. However, he took upon him the form of human beings and came and suffered in our stead. He certainly was a man. He says, a man called Jesus made clay. He anointed mine eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. So here he says, simply a man called Jesus. He doesn't know anything more about him than that. He just simply knows there's a man. His name is Jesus. He came. He told me to do something. I did it. And the result is I have the blessing of natural sight, which I didn't have before. Here I've been blessed to see. I was blind. I was begging. But now I can see, and now I can work with my own hands. No longer do I need to sit and beg from others. He just says, a man called Jesus. It's good enough just to know that. You know, the Bible tells us that there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. I'm thankful just to know him as a man called Jesus. That's a great blessing right there. But I'm thankful this man was blessed to know more. And I'm thankful that you who are sitting here tonight know more about him than simply that he's a man called Jesus. But it's interesting that this man, as he's persecuted, the Lord blesses him with more knowledge. Now, the Bible tells us all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. The Lord told us we shouldn't be amazed, we shouldn't wonder when the world hates us, because the world hated him. If the Lord, world hated him, certainly they're going to hate us also. But the Lord made it clear that we're to be encouraged, because in the midst of all that, he is with us. And he proves it in the experience of this young man. It says after this, they brought him to the Pharisees. That's never a good place to go. Every time you see the Pharisees in the New Testament, you'll find trouble is right behind. The Pharisees are not the people I like to worship with. They're not the people I like to live with. They're not the people I like to associate with. Pharisees are always trying to trip you up, trying to show you what you're not doing right, trying to bring you down, trying to do anything they can to make themselves look better. And the only way they know to make themselves look better is to make you and I look worse. And I don't like being around individuals like that. I like being around folks that encourage me, that strengthen me, that support me, and push me along in the journey. Here, this poor young man, where do they take him? They take him to the Pharisees, and immediately they're going to try to bring him down.
Every time I find myself in a good experience with the Lord, I find then the devil comes right behind and tries to bring me down from that good experience that I've had with the Lord. Here this young man has been with the Lord Jesus Christ. He blesses him to see. The first things he sees is the Lord himself. He says, a man called Jesus did this to me, and now I can see. And the first thing they take him to is the Pharisees. Here this poor young man's got to go and face those men. It says they took him to the Pharisees that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Here the Lord once again violated their rule about doing anything on the Sabbath day. We see a number of times the Lord did great miracles and did a lot of good and great help to people on the Sabbath day. But we find he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And if he decided or desired to do something good on the Sabbath day, it certainly was not an infraction against the law, but rather it was fulfilling the law. Here he is, the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath, he said, we were not made for it. It was made for us. It's simply a day of rest, a day of opportunity the Lord's given us to come and honor the Lord, because on the seventh day the Lord rested because he was finished with all his work. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is not finished with his work on earth, and so he worked on the Sabbath day. Here he did good works for these individuals, even on the Sabbath. But of course, the Pharisees were greatly offended any time he did so. But the Lord did it on the Sabbath. And so he's brought before the Pharisees, and they began to question him. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, verse 16, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Now, you remember at the beginning of this experience, the disciples asked some foolish questions. They had some thoughts that were not scriptural. You're going to find the Pharisees have the same problem. Here they come, they say, he cannot be of God. It's important that we not assume things. It's important we have understanding and knowledge before we form our opinions or beliefs. Here these individuals, though, they have their ideas about God's word, and so they say this man could not be of God, even though God himself said on two occasions, this is my beloved son when he was baptized, and who am I well pleased? On the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. God himself testified by speaking from heaven that this is my beloved son. So certainly he's from God. The Lord said himself in John chapter 6, verse 37, he says, for I came down not from heaven. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Well, what does that mean? God sent him. He's from God. He was doing that which God commanded him to do. Remember what he says? He says, my meat is to do thy will, O God. So I conclude that whatever Christ did, he did it of God. But the Pharisees said this man could not be of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? So some of the Pharisees are stepping back and say, well, wait a minute. How can a man perform such great things if he's a sinner? Others say, well, he can't be from God because he's doing things on the Sabbath day and that's sinful. So they even had a division among themselves. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Now, to the neighbors, he said, he is simply a man called Jesus. Now he's brought before the Pharisees, and when this man probably by nature should have shrunk back, he steps forth boldly and says more about the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have just kind of sweep it under the rug and not said anything, but this man received a great blessing from the Lord. And as the Bible says, unto whom much is given, much is required, this man was going to do that which was required of him and defend the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't know much about it, but we even know the Bible is clear. If we defend the Lord, he'll defend us. But if we deny him, he likewise shall deny us. Here this man is brought before the counselors, the Pharisees, the governing body, and they question him, interrogate him. He simply says, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. Well, how does he know this? Other than God telling him, I don't know how he knows this. But all I know, he's defending the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, the Lord is blessing him to know more and more. Here he comes, and he does not shirk back. He does not stand back and deny the Lord Jesus Christ, but he stands forward, and he defends the Lord. He confesses Christ. And as Christ made it clear, if we confess him, he'll confess us before the Father. It's good to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the occasion the Lord came there to that wild Gadarene? The Lord blessed him, took those devils out of him, put them in the swine. They went and drowned themselves in the sea. That man came sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And he wanted to follow the Lord, but the Lord said no. Instead, he sent him home and said, you just go and tell what great things the Lord has done for you. That man didn't step back. He stepped forward defending the Lord. The next time the Lord came through, there's a great crowd out to hear the Lord. Anytime the Lord blesses us, we ought to step up and defend him, confess him. He'll defend us and confess us. This man simply says, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. I remember another occasion when he was called a prophet in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Remember, he comes to her and asks water of her, and she's confused and amazed that a Jew would come to her, a woman not worthy, and ask of her water. And of course, he tells her that he would give her waters of life or she would never thirst again. She goes home and tells her friends and other individuals that she met the Lord, and she calls him a prophet. He told her all things she ever did. He didn't tell her about future events. He simply told her about past events, but she recognized he was speaking with the authority of God, and thus he's a prophet. Here this man sees, obviously this man, Jesus, is speaking with the authority of God, the presence of God, the power of God, and he testifies and defends him as a prophet of God. He is a prophet, and certainly is. The Bible says he's a prophet that is greater than Moses. He's a prophet. He speaks with God's authority. He speaks as though he is God himself. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It says, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received a sight until they called the parents of him that had received a sight. You know, I'm amazed. Sometimes young people come before us to give a testimony, and we really don't want to listen to them. They're not old enough, not wise enough to listen to counsel. But we find the Lord says, suffer little children. Hear this young man. He's not a child. He's a young adult here. They won't hear him. We need to hear somebody older, somebody who's been through some things, somebody with experience. Let's bring them forward. You know, the Lord does sometimes speak through children, and we ought to listen. But they wouldn't listen to this man. He's too young, too inexperienced, doesn't have the wisdom that his parents have. Let's bring forth his parents. They brought him forth. Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now see it, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. It says, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, but the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So here the parents, they're called on the carpet. Here the Pharisees want to question them. But they've already been told anybody confesses Christ and because of the sight of him, they'll be put out of the synagogue. They don't want to be put out of the synagogue. We sometimes, from time to time, obviously have to exercise discipline and put somebody out of the church. But this was far more extreme when you were put out of the synagogue. Far more extreme than when we had to discipline a member of our body. Because not only were they put out of the fellowship of the synagogue, that means also if you were a fellow Jew, you weren't to have commerce with one another. Families couldn't be together if you were put out of the synagogue. There was a great separation. And so obviously his parents were fearful that they would be cut off from family, from friends, from neighbors, and from those whom they had worshiped with. However, this young man will testify and defend the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it means being put out of the synagogue. Here the Apostle Paul said, you remember, at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me, he said, but the Lord stood with me. I'd much rather have the Lord and it just be me and him than have a whole crowd of folks and the Lord not be in the midst. I'd much rather just walk with the Lord by myself. But I know that will never happen because the Lord thankfully has many reserved to himself that have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal. So anyway, here the parents are fearful. They say, he's of age. You know, talk about passing the buck. Just ask him. And so they turn the attention. So it says, then again called they the man that was blind and said to him, give God the praise. Well, he never had not given God the praise. He never tried to rob God the praise that was due him. He just simply said of his son, he's a man called Jesus, and that's true. He says of him, he's a prophet, and that's true. He's spoken simply words of truth to this point, but it offended the notions of the Pharisees. So they say to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. I like what the man says in response. He says, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. you know, of all those details, he said, I don't have the information. I don't know about his past. I don't know the things that perhaps y'all know about him. He says, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not one thing. I know that whereas I was blind, now I see. He says, I know this much. I couldn't see before, but I met this man called Jesus who's a prophet, and now I can see. He's done a lot more for me than you've ever done for me. You know, you didn't give me sight. You haven't helped me in that way. I guarantee you some of these Pharisees passed right by, and when he begged, didn't even contribute to his needs. But here the Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene, and the Lord gives him his sight. He says, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. He says, one thing I do know, I was blind, now I see. He says, I've got real results. I've got physical results of the blessings of this man. Here I was blind, but now I can see. He answered them, I have told you. Are they asking then, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Interesting, that question indicates that he's already a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his life is showing that as proof. Here he says, a man called Jesus to his neighbors. He's brought before the Pharisees. He says, a man that's a prophet. Then he says, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I know this much. He healed me. I was blind. Now I see. He said, now you ask me again about it. I've already told you. Do you want to hear it now? So that you'll be convinced and become a disciple? That's kind of like Agrippa, you know, when Paul stood before him. He says, almost thou persuadest me. And Paul said, I would to God. Then almost and altogether, you are as I am, except these bonds. Here he says, will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Well, Moses was simply a disciple of him too. Moses followed the Lord, did he not? There in Exodus chapter 3, when he turned aside to see the burning bush that wasn't consumed, what did he do? He was called of God to go into Egypt and let the people go, or demand Pharaoh, let the people go. He became a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ said of Moses when he wrote, he actually wrote of me. So Moses literally was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he's doing it by faith. He esteemed the riches of Christ. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ far better than the riches of Egypt. Even though he didn't know Christ personally in a physical sense, the disciples did, he knew him by faith. And he esteemed the reproaches of Christ far better than what he could have obtained when he was there in Pharaoh's house in Egypt. Here he said, when Moses wrote, he wrote of me. They said, we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Now notice these men confess a lot of ignorance. They obviously have a division. Some think he must be of God because a man that's a sinner couldn't do these things. Others say he must be a sinner because he's broken the Sabbath. And now they say from whence he is, we know not. Well, they're testifying a lot of things they don't know, but they're also making some bold statements along the way. Notice they said, we know that this man cannot be from God. He says, give God the praise. The man answered and said unto them, this is kind of funny. He says, why herein is a marvelous thing. This is astounding, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. I've experienced him. I've seen the blessing he's performed. You don't even know where he's from, and yet you testify it's not of God. How can you who know nothing confess anything? Here's marvelous. I've actually experienced him. I've seen his power. I've felt his power. He's touched me, and I was healed. He said, it's a marvelous thing. You know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. He goes on to say, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man open the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. This man first says, I know a man called Jesus. He touched my eyes, I see. Then he says he's a prophet. Now he lets us know he's a man of God. Obviously, he's from the Lord. He says, a man that's a sinner, God will not hear. But obviously, God has heard this man because this man had great ability and could do for me what no other could. He says, since the world began, it was not heard that a man could do these things. And if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? Sometimes the unlearned need to teach the learned. Here the Pharisees, who thought they knew everything, knew nothing. Here they thought that this man was a sinner, but rather he was sent from God. He's the Son of God. He was the eternal Son of God. It was by Christ Himself that the worlds were formed. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible tells us that not anything that was made, He made it all. Everything we see, everything that we feel, everything we touch, everything that is, the Lord Himself has created. He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. This man had some understanding about Him that the Pharisees did not, yet they boldly said that he could not be from the Lord. He says, certainly could. Certainly could. They answered and said unto him, thou hast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Here this man boldly and repeatedly defended the Lord. He confessed Christ all along the way. To the point he was cast out. That means he was cast out of worship, cast out of doing business together, cast away even from his family. But notice who he's not cast out from. Notice who comes on the scene immediately after this experience. It says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answers the Lord and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Here he had a ready heart to believe on the Lord. I love people who come to the Lord's house with a ready heart simply to believe in the word of the Lord. To come to the Lord's house to hear God's word, to hear the testimony of the things that he's done, to hear the commands that he has for his life. And we have a ready and willing heart to put those things in action, to believe those things, to do those things, and to go forth and even spread those things. That's this young man. He has a willing heart. He says, Lord, just tell me who he is that I might believe. And Jesus says to him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Here this man in the beginning sat begging. He had no idea what was going to happen to him that day. He simply did what he did every day, the only thing he could do. He went and begged because that was the only way he could make a living. And the Lord came by that day, saw him. The disciples, they criticized him, saying, who was the sinner, he and his parents? The Lord said, neither, but that God might be glorified. This has happened to him. That God might receive praise this day. That God might be honored, magnified, and glorified. This has happened in his life. God has allowed it for this purpose. And, of course, the Lord then heals his sight. This man can see a man called Jesus. I'm glad you and I can see that there is a man called Jesus. That man is still alive today, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. That he lived upon this earth a perfect life. He hung upon Calvary and bore the wrath that was intended for you and I. But God took it from us and laid it upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. I'm thankful that man satisfied what God required and said it is finished. And that man gave up the ghost. That man was buried. That man laid in the tomb 3 days and 3 nights. And that man came forth after the third day and night. And that man stayed with men for about 10 days or 40 days. And then that man ascended back into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. I'm thankful we can see that there is a man called Jesus. I'm thankful we can know he's a prophet. He's a man that speaks with the authority of God because he is God. I'm thankful we can see that he's a man sent from God. But you know, I'm very thankful to know that he's the Son of God. That he's the one. He's the one that was God manifest in the flesh. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him is full of grace and truth. I'm thankful to see him not simply as a man. That's good, because he was a good man. But I'm thankful to see him far above that. We see Jesus, the Bible said, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned though now with glory and honor. We see a man who's given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue should confess, both things under the earth, above the earth, and we shall all testify, and the day is coming that every human being will ultimately confess him Lord to the glory of God. Thanks be to God that a man called Jesus came. But I thank God that he revealed he was more than a man, that he is the eternal Son of God. This man saw that because this man was willing to confess him. I guarantee if you continue to defend him and confess him, you'll learn more and more about him also. He made it clear if we confess him, he likewise will confess us
before the Father. Isn't it good to have our names confessed before the Father? I'd rather have that than us to be denied the blessings we need before the Father. Continue to defend Him. Continue to serve Him. And just as this young man had a willing heart, let us likewise come to the house of God each week with a willing and tender heart for the things of the Word of God, that we might know more and more about this man called Jesus, who is God's Son. May the Lord bless you.